Good morning. This is August 21st, about 11 o'clock. We are in our talk number 5 of Inner Realizations. And it's all about the realizations that come in meditation that I have written in this journal that I have kept for the last 16 years. And that's together and in conjunction with this book, The Mystical Eye, by Mr. Goldsmith. Now, please be at peace. Try not to listen with your mind only. Listen with your awareness. There has been 3 entries in the year 2016. And the first one was in January. My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. Human thoughts are thoughts in the human mind. But God's thought comes as awareness of infinity, of omnipresence. Human thought is thinking. God thought is awareness of that which is. From that we know that the letter would be thinking. The spirit would be awareness. And if you have not experienced the presence and its fruitage, it is because you've remained in the letter only. And Joel says here in the 1955 Kailua Study Series, in that chapter, Experience of the Christ, whereas the vast bulk of teaching and of treating is carried on in the mind and through the mind with these truths, they fail because the next step is omitted. And the next step is attaining that mind or some measure of it which was also in Christ Jesus, which would enable those works to be done through us. And the mind that was also in Christ Jesus is not thinking, but awareness, conscious awareness of omnipresence. When you have the conscious awareness of the presence, not a thought in the mind, not a thought held in the mind while you're being quiet, when all thoughts of Christ and all thoughts of God, all thoughts of Spirit and any other synonyms for God are gone, as we said last week, when you're in that place of unknowing, then something can happen. You can have this experience of the Christ. You can have the conscious awareness of Spirit, of a spiritual presence. And that spiritual presence, once realized, when it comes as a conscious awareness and not a thought, then it governs. It becomes a law onto your experience, which is how, in the middle of Houston, in a car that's totally broken down, in the rain, on the side of the highway, on July 4th, with nothing open, I could become still, recognize the fact that I know nothing, and now whatever there really is must take over and rest in that silence. I could feel or become consciously aware of the presence, And then suddenly the car started up and drove me all the way to California. Now, it governs your experience in ways you know not of. I don't know how it does that. I don't know how it heals a toe. I don't know. I only know that it, when it becomes a conscious awareness, it becomes a law unto my experience. It governs my experience, and that governing is with grace. Isn't it amazing? I've had the thought, how wonderful it is that God is love. You know, in this world of opposites, we experience good and we experience evil. Good health and sickness. Abundance and lack. Friendship and loneliness. Youth and age. And good and evil. And isn't it really something that God's not evil? When you think of God, when I think of God, before the world was, there's just God and nothing else. I am so glad that God is love. Because when I come under God's government, I come under the government of love. And these beautiful things happen. These healings, they look like healings, but they're not. They're just the mind's interpretation of that love. Anyway, I come under the government of that awareness, that presence. And so in May, I wrote, the body is not self-acting. The mind is not self-acting. The man is not self-acting. The Father liveth itself. And that's the experience. As long as you are self-acting, you have a body that acts by itself, then it could be either good or evil. If you have a mind that acts of itself, by itself, from itself, you can have good thoughts or bad thoughts. You can be angry at someone, or you can be compassionate. As long as you have a person that acts of themselves, you can do good or you can do bad. That which I would not do, I do. That which I would do, I do not do. I've had that experience. Saying to myself, today I'm not going to argue with anyone, and then within 10 minutes I'm arguing with someone. I'm sure you have too. And so that which I would do, I do not. But when I don't have a person, what then? What happens when I have only the conscious awareness of a presence here, loving itself? Then I come under the government of God, or grace. And grace liveth my life. Now, the conscious awareness of the living presence, you could say the living presence of Christ, the living presence of God, the living presence of the Father, the living presence of Spirit, the living presence of is, but it is a living, loving presence. And the conscious awareness of it means you come under the government. All right? Now, in this chapter, I Am the Way, Joel says, you have been told that you and your Father are one. In that oneness, you find spiritual freedom, spiritual harmony, spiritual grace, a life lived not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Now, in that oneness, it's not enough to just go around repeating, I and my Father are one. That may settle down your mind, bring you a little peace. But, as he said in the Kalua Study Series, if the next step is omitted, then all you have is a mental concept of oneness. And it's not enough. You can still have the swinging pairs of opposites, because you're not under grace yet, you're still under the law. Yes, you're knowing the letter of truth, and you're knowing it correctly. But if you don't come to a place of unknowing in that particular meditation, I mean, it's okay to know the letter of truth, but if you stop there and then get up and go about your business, you're still under the law. You're not under grace. You only come under grace when you have the conscious awareness of that spiritual presence. And so you have to take the next step. And after you know the letter of truth, you have to come to a place of unknowing, a place of rest. You have to come into the Sabbath. And on the seventh day, you rest. Then that presence steals into your consciousness like the coming of dawn. It just flows in and you feel it. Or you hear the voice say, I am here. Be not afraid, it is I. And there's this wonderful warmth that flows into you. Now that's the conscious awareness. When you have that, then you can get up and go about your business, and you are living under grace. You are a child of God. Now, Joel says on the next page, do not try to go beyond this moment of revelation or realization, regardless of how many months or years it may take for you to reach the absolute inner conviction, this presence, this I is within me. And so he's telling you there, don't move from this spot. Don't pretend, please don't pretend that because you have the words, because you can quote all these scriptures, that you have the conscious awareness. If you're still having a human life, sometimes good, sometimes bad, mostly bad, then you haven't had the experience. Consciousness, there's no awareness that isn't manifest. Hence what you do speak so loudly, I can hardly hear what you say. And so if you know all these words, and you can rehearse them in your mind, that's good, that's fine. That's called contemplation, and that's what we do. But we must not omit the next step, however long it takes. However many months or years it may take, he says, don't move from that spot. Don't kid yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Reach a place like I did, and Joel did, and all the others before, where you say, I don't know. Yes, I understand the words. I have an intellectual understanding. But now I'm going to be still. Father, speak. But now I'm going to not know any truth with my mind. I'm just going to listen. And now I'm going to just be quiet. I'm going to be receptive. Christ liveth. Whatever words you use to get you to the place where you don't need words or thoughts, but only a receptivity, only a listening, only a being intuitively aware. Joel says that you start by practicing the presence, and that is consciously with your mind remembering these truths as you go about your day. Pausing before you step out the door in the morning if you go to work. God is just as much on the other side of this door as he is on this side. Yes, I feel that presence even now. I sit down to eat. God is the supply that is appearing as every good and perfect meal. You get behind the wheel of your car. God is the only intelligence on the road. Everywhere I go, I live and move and have my being in God, and so does everyone else, because there only is one presence. And so you're practicing that presence in your mind, reminding yourself of these truths. And then you add to that meditation, perhaps in the beginning only 3 times a day. And you don't sit down for an hour. Maybe you pick up one of these books like we're doing this morning here, read a little bit, something hits you and you set it down and you contemplate in your mind that truth. So I would take this sentence here, this next sentence we're going to look at. Those who have the Spirit of God are the children of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ to all the heavenly riches. But it's only those who have the Spirit and not the letter. And so you see, I'm contemplating that. So I don't want the letter, I want the Spirit of God. Father, thy Spirit. And now I'm quiet. And in my meditation, I've come to an end of contemplating, and I am just still. Father, reveal thyself, thy Spirit. Let thy Spirit be upon me, through me, as me. And I take a moment and I think no thoughts. And it's like relaxing back in a hammock, suspended between 2 trees. There's no pressure anywhere, just a resting, perhaps an inner swinging silent movement. I'm resting, I'm waiting upon the Lord. And in the beginning I don't feel anything. But I have created an opening, and as I open my eyes and go about my business, I find myself in a certain harmony. I'm in the right place at the right time. I show up and there's a parking space just exactly where none should be. I go in to purchase something on sale and it's the last one. I'm right on time. Walking out the door, I meet someone I haven't seen in a while, and I talk to them and we rekindle a friendship. See, harmony's happening. I'm not making it happen. I'm not thinking about it. I'm finding myself in the right place at the right time. It's a journey that you discover. These things are happening. Later, with more practice of the presence and deeper meditation, one day I'm quiet, I'm still, I'm not expecting anything, I'm just waiting. I'm this feeling, this warm presence flows into my, well, it's not really in my body, it's kind of into my soul. And I feel that tingling and that warmth and that sense of peace which passes all understanding, because I don't have any understanding. I just have this feeling of peace, of an infinite, incorporeal presence here, now. And so I have the conscious awareness of a presence, my presence, capital M, my presence, that I within. And now I know I am the way, but it's a conscious awareness of I. And so he says here, the Spirit of God is always and ever with you, even though it is of no avail to you, because it is only through your awareness of it, your consciousness of its presence, that it functions. Yes, that's what all of this is about. That's what I've been talking to you about for several years. We read these books and we read over these words, but perhaps we read them kind of fast and didn't see these things because we didn't stand still long enough. the Spirit of God is always with you, but it doesn't matter. You can live your life in hell without the conscious awareness of it, because you're under the law of good and evil, the law that Moses taught you about. But what happens when you come into the conscious awareness of this presence? Ah, then it functions. And what does that mean, it functions? What does he mean? What's that experience? That experience is you come under grace. You're living a life of harmony that you are not putting together. You're finding yourself in the middle of it. There's the synchronicity. And so how do you know that you've really had a conscious awareness and not just a thought? Because it functions. You find yourself in the right place at the right time. You find that things that were problems dissolve of themselves. You don't even work on them. Sometimes you discover, hey, I wonder when that left. It's really quite amazing, this life by grace. And I'm so glad that God is love. Now, when you're living this life by grace, and you've come to practice it for a while, now you've become proficient. Perhaps you can't sit down and attain this conscious awareness at will yet, but almost every time you sit down, you have a conscious awareness. What does that do? Well, he says here, you have nothing more to do with the outer plane of life. Just to accept God's grace as it flows into and through your experience. From then on, the only struggle, and it's not a struggle, should be for the awareness that I, the Spirit of God, is within you. And the full baskets will appear of their own accord. You see that? It becomes a life by grace. It's in the front of every book. I think it's in the front of this one. The illumined walk without fear by grace. And so you have nothing more to do with the outer plane of life except to accept God's grace as it flows in and through your experience. Imagine a life where all you have to do is accept grace living your life. The fear drops away, the worry. I want that life. I don't have it, but I'm walking toward it, and I know I am, consciously. And I have days, sometimes weeks, in which I live by grace and nothing else. Now, sometimes we're given situations, like I have been recently, where I can't depend on outer forms or outer institutions for anything, and I have to look only to the invisible and stand. Well, I told you that my first spiritual guide told me that we reach a place where we come to the edge of the cliff and the voice inside says, walk. And there's nothing down for 3,000 feet. We know we're going to walk to our death. Do we stand there in fear or do we obey? If we obey, we take that step and the next step and, wow, we're walking on air. No, we're walking on that presence which is carrying us across to the other side, to the cliff over there. And so we reach places in our experience sometimes, I do, where it looks like there's nothing to support me out there. Like I'm going to burn and crash, and I'm not going to be able to pay my bills, or I'm not going to be able to get right with that person, or I'm not going to be able to get rid of this physical problem. And the voice says in meditation, I am here. Now you walk. And we say, okay, if you say so. And we walk. And guess what? Grace functions. The problem is dissolved. The income just shows up out of the universe. The person, the animosity, the person felt dissolves. One way or another, the conscious awareness of God functions as our experience, and harmony is revealed. So, he says, all there is to a spiritually fruitful life is this conscious abiding in and through the presence. When you raise up the Son of God in you, or this presence, you hear, I will never leave you. Yes, yeah, sometimes you don't hear it in words. Sometimes you feel it in a, oh yes, like I am right this minute. I am here. Here I am, the presence. Presence of your being. You can never get outside of me. I can never get outside of you. I am you. When you take no thought, I am you, and grace functions your life for you. I am come that you might have life abundantly, a graceful life, full of grace life, a life full of grace. And so what is this raising up the Son of God? Raising up the Son of God is when you go into your meditation and you stand stock still in unknowing. And the Son of God is lifted up. It lifts itself up. Your silence is your offering. Here, dwell here, Lord. Let my silence be thy dwelling place. Your silence is your way of opening the door. And I, who stand at the door, I am lifted up. Oh God, the conscious awareness of this presence is all I live for. And when you have so raised up the Son of God in you, he says, then you are the child of God, and you live not by taking thought for your life. See, there really is a way to live here where you have nothing more to do with the outer plane. You're not planning, you're not scheming, you're not thinking. You're doing that which is put in front of you to do, but you're not really doing, you're not even doing that. You're living life as a beholder, as this conscious awareness, this presence through you does that which is appointed for you to do. And you're living by grace. You have no desires of your own, no concepts of your own. You have no will of your own. You're living by grace. Grace liveth my life. The illumined walk without fear. By grace. You're living by grace. By love. Think of that. A life governed by love. By this indwelling spirit, he says. You live not by taking thought for your life, not by might nor by power, but by this indwelling spirit. You must demonstrate the conscious realization of this indwelling presence, and then it becomes the form of fulfillment. Now, you might find fulfillment in a cottage by the ocean where you can hear the waves. And that's nice. I've been there. And I might find fulfillment in the mountains, where the first snowfall is total silence, just the very, oh, I don't know how to describe it, just a very hushed silence as the snow begins to fall. And if fulfillment comes to you in that way, and fulfillment comes to me in this way, when we live by grace, your fulfillment will appear as that form, my fulfillment will appear as this form. If you're an artist and I'm a musician, your fulfillment might be in painting that ocean, and my fulfillment might be in hearing and writing down and performing a musical symphony. Sometimes I hear a musical symphony in my head. So, that spiritual presence is with you now, and so your fulfillment is with you now. But you can't experience that fulfillment through the mind. The mind, knowing these truths, will not appear as fulfillment. It's a step. It's only a step to that period of unknowing and silence in which you have the conscious awareness of the presence. That conscious awareness is the mind which was in Christ Jesus, and it is the grace which appears as fulfillment, forms itself as your fulfillment. And it's wonderful. And he says, I dare not pray for supply, because any supply separate and apart from God would not be supply. It would be an image. Yes, that's a good point. If you pray for supply and you mentally treat for supply, and supply comes out of your mind, it's a mental image. It may be good today, but you're setting yourself up for it to be bad tomorrow. Because that's the only thing that can come out of the mind, is the opposites. But when you don't have supply out of the mind, when you take no thought, when you let consciousness form itself, when you let the conscious awareness appear, however it will, and stand there a beholder as it flows and functions through you, that supply is permanent. I'm not saying that the form out here is going to be permanent. I'm saying the flow of that supply is going to be permanent. I will never leave thee. And so it may appear in a dozen different ways over a 20-year period, but it will always flow and always appear. And so you will never be without supply, because supply is not the form that it appears as. Supply is that conscious awareness. Supply is the presence itself. As I confine my prayer to this realization of God's presence, it appears tangibly, outwardly, in the form necessary. He says, always the realized presence appears as fulfillment of that moment. And so this is how we live by grace, without fear, by grace. We become the illumined. We become that mind which is so still, which is so empty of self for a moment, that we become, well, the light shines, and we become the illumined. And it shines in our soul. And that illumination, we see it. We are consciously aware of it. And it appears as form, as fulfillment. And so we are instructed to abide in this word. And then the Spirit of God will appear to you in the form of fulfillment for your life. Now, let's just take a moment, shall we? And become consciously aware of this inner presence. It's here now. I have felt it several times during this talk. It's almost been continuous. I in the midst of thee. I am the light. I am the light. that shines. And shining in your consciousness without any thought, I appear as form. And that form is always fulfillment, for I am always love. Stop taking thought for your life, please. Let I, love, live your life. Grace, love, I. We are one. And I go before thee to prepare a place for thee. He says, as you are still enough to recognize, realize the presence of this I within you, it then takes care of daily bread, food, clothing, housing, joy, peace, safety, security, reward, recognition, whatever the nature of fulfillment is to be. And it really does, dear friends. And if you haven't learned yet how to live by grace, I highly recommend it. Again, hear his words. Do not move from this spot. Do not move from practicing the presence, knowing the letter, and meditation, unknowing, and listening. Do not move until you have this capital E experience. He says, you cannot afford to accept these 2 points and go on as if you had read a beautiful lesson. You must take them into your consciousness for a day, a week, a month, a year if necessary, until they have come to fruition within you, until you have the experience. And you yourself have attained an understanding of the nature of the revelation of Christ Jesus, that I is the way. Through I, which is the divine presence within you, you are fulfilled. You see, know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, or the truth shall give you fulfillment. Now you understand that's not a knowing with the mind, is it? It's not you knowing the truth. But in your stillness, coming into the conscious awareness of a presence, coming into the conscious awareness of truth, that's what appears as fulfillment and sets you free. And so through this I, which is God within you, through this you live. This is the way of life. Oh, here it is again. This is the way of life, and you live through this presence, in it, with it, through it, by it, commune with it, live and move and have your being in it and with it. Be still and know I. Be still and hear a still small voice say to you, fear not, I am with you. Be not afraid, I am he. Yes, I am the temple not made with thought. I am the temple made with grace. I am the temple not made by thought. I am the temple made by love. And so he says, take no thought for your own life, for this is the function of I in you. From now on, I is the way. And so relax in that I, relax in that presence. Now you have lived a life designed, created, and fulfilled by Mary, by Jim, by John, by Jane. And it was sometimes very good, but sometimes horribly bad. Why don't you be done with all that now? Why don't you really do this? Why don't you really take no thought for your own life? Why don't you really, really recognize that it is the function of I to live your life by grace, by love? This is the way of I. The way of I. And it comes to you who are finally ready after many, many years of struggling to know the truth. You know, we tried to demonstrate with our mind, we tried to demonstrate in metaphysics money, property, income. We tried to demonstrate health. We tried to demonstrate harmony in human relationships. I tried to demonstrate the perfect woman. Now, I must say that when I dropped all that and recognized I didn't even know what the perfect woman was, and I would never find one, I gave up even looking. Then the perfect woman was demonstrated by grace, by love. And she's with me now. So, he finishes this chapter by saying, remember consciously when you awaken in the morning, where you are is this temple of God. Pray the prayer of remembrance that I within you am God. That's very important. Pray the prayer of remembrance. Yes. When we awaken in the morning, as we sit up in bed, the first thing to remember, or maybe even before we sit up, is that this day I am not going to take thought about out here. I know it's scary. Perhaps I have 5 things I need to do, 5 responsibilities to take care of today, or 5 errands to run, but I am not going to take thought for out here. I'm going to stand aside. I'm going to step aside. I'm going to rest in this Sabbath. That Bill Skiles says that there's a Sabbath, and I believe it. I'm going to rest in it and take no thought. Now, Father, you live. You flow. And I am still. And just for a moment, you listen. Then you get up, you go pour your coffee or have a cup of tea or have your breakfast. And as you sit down, you remember, oh, that's right. I'm practicing the presence. Thank you, Father, for that invisible substance which is appearing as these eggs and bacon or toast or English muffin or cereal or granola, whatever it is that you have. Then you have some minutes before you have to step out the door to go to work or run these errands, so you sit down and you have a formal meditation. I'm not coming here to fix anything. I'm not coming here to help anybody. I'm not coming here to help myself. I'm coming here to surrender myself, to empty this temple of self so that it's not a temple made by thought, by hands. So that it's a temple made by grace, by love. And I'm still, and I'm listening. Father, fulfill thyself. Reveal thyself. The words aren't necessary so long as they bring you with the mind to a place where you're outside of the mind, just listening, not using the mind, only being aware. Into that awareness comes this presence. You feel it. You rest in it. You joy in it. Love is upon you. And it has come that you might have life. More loving. It has come that you might have fulfillment. So you step out the door. You get in the car. You remember again. Everywhere I go, I move in your presence. You drive down the street, maybe you're whistling to yourself, humming to yourself. Thank you, Father. And you're going about these errands, and they get accomplished. It's amazing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they're all done. Only half of the days has been used. You return home. Now there's time to read, or listen to a talk, or have another deeper, longer meditation. There's time to rest in this presence. You're beginning to see love is living my life. An infinite ocean of love, ever flowing. It was always flowing, but I didn't know it. I had to come into the conscious awareness of it. First as the feeling of it enveloping me, and then as seeing its harmony appear in loving ways out here. I'm learning to live not by fear anymore, not by self anymore, but by grace, by love, by God, by I, which never leaves me. What I am experiencing, living this way, is the healing of my soul. You remember? He restoreth my soul. Now, in May of this year, I wrote this. Will thou be made whole? Not a healed material form. That's not what is meant by wilt thou be made whole. People had problems and they came to Christ Jesus. Help me, heal me, please, Master. And he turned and said, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? One infinite spirit? One seamless garment? One whole being? One spiritual universe? Whole. One. The Holy One. And so I ask you, wilt thou be made whole? Would you like one continuous spiritual experience? Would you like to live in a seamless garment? The conscious awareness always of I? You know, back in October of 2001, this came to me. Without eyes, I can see. Without ears, I can hear. Without a brain, I still have awareness. Who am I? I am the resurrection. This is what we're talking about. You would become the child of God. You would lift up the Son of God in you. You would experience this revelation, this resurrection of I. First it comes as a hope, a desire. Maybe there's something to this. Maybe there really is an I, a Son of God, a Spirit within me. Maybe there really is something. Then it comes as a practice. And I carry this concept of I around with me. I am the way. I have come. I will make all things new. I think on these things. I remember them throughout the day. Then it comes as a meditation. Inside my being, I am still. I am very quiet. What is this lifting up the eye? Maybe I read that scripture. Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would be alive. But even now I know that you can raise him up again at the resurrection, at the last day. And Christ says, I am the resurrection. I will lift you out of the graves of the dead. We take that into meditation. What is that? What is that? How does that feel? Oh, Father, reveal thyself. I can't do it. And this, we're flooded with this beautiful presence, the presence of I in our very own being. We know now, it's an awareness now. It's not a thought. In fact, the thought just starts after the awareness. First, this feeling. I feel it on my leg. I feel it on the side of my face. There's this wonderful, warm presence flowing into me, a spiritual presence. Could it be? Is this the I? I get up from my meditation. Everything seems to be in harmony. I find this synchronicity. Yes, this must be the I. The next day I sit down to meditate. I want to have this experience again, and nothing happens. Of course not, because the mind's in there watching, trying to control, trying to duplicate, trying to fabricate and pretend. And the mind cannot do it. A few more days go by, and in frustration, I let go. And there it is again. I is coming out of the grave of mortality, where it was hidden, behind that mind, always within, always here. For God expressed as I within, before the world was, before the mind was. And I is resurrecting. A little more practice. A few more years go by. And I see, wow, wherever I am, I is. And I can contact it. I can feel it. I feel it up in a plane at 30,000 feet. I feel it on an ocean liner in the middle of the Atlantic. I feel it in downtown Miami. I feel it in Los Angeles or Chicago. I feel it in the quiet of the local library. I feel it in the middle of a movie theater while R2-D2 and C-3PO are standing on a planet. I feel it in the middle of the night. I am never alone, and I know it. Love now is with me wherever I go. Fear not, little flock. Love will live your life. Think of that. In the very beginning, love flowed forth. And we didn't want it. We wanted our own separate existence. So we dreamed this up. But now we are awakening from our sleep. Now the I, the love that was with us from the beginning, is being felt consciously. Wow. All this time, love could live my life. And I, how is it that I am awakening to this love? I feel so fortunate. But perhaps I was one of the ones that yelled, "Crucify him," because I was frightened by this rebel that would take me out of the structured religion in which I was stuck. It was a false form of security. Now, Maybe I'm still a little afraid, but I'm launching forth anyway. I'm launching forth into the deep. And I'm letting go of my nets. And I'm watching love fulfill itself. This is the way. This is the way of I. This is the way of I, Christ, the presence of the living God. This is the way of grace. This is the way of love. I live, yet not I. Love liveth my life. We are told God is love. And how wonderful. Thank you, everyone, for drawing forth the recognition, the realization that love liveth our lives. When we stand aside, when we surrender our ideas, our best ideas, when we enter into the boat, launch out into the deep without any knowing, with a complete unknowing, resting back in the Sabbath of Spirit, love liveth your life. And so I thank you very deeply for drawing this forth today. And I'm left with only one thing. I love you.